our keynote speaker this morning. And if I mispronounce your name, I apologize in advance. Kara. Kara? Kara.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Do this. I just want to take you all in. My name is Kara. I am a compulsive overeater, recovering bulimic and sugar addict. Hi, everyone. I'd like to begin by grounding us with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. God's will, not mine, be done. So I say that prayer every time I qualify to remind myself that these are God's words, not mine. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm just here to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. As I began to prepare for this keynote, I reflected on the title of the convention, Imagine the Miracles. Immediately, the song Pure Imagination popped into my head. It's from the 1971 film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, sung by Gene Wilder, the title character. Now, I know what you all must be thinking. Kara, you're choosing to close an Overeaters Anonymous convention by referencing a movie about a candy factory. Yes. Yes, I am. Because if we can't talk about this stuff here in the safety of our fellowship, what happens when we go out there, when we face the literal and metaphorical candy factories that life throws at us? So I ask that you bear with me. Because just like Willy Wonka, there is a method to my madness. We can draw some powerful comparisons between the song's lyrics and the promises of the 12 steps. I personally view the world of pure imagination as an allegory for the life I have today in recovery. When you leave here today, please take a handout with my interpretation as it relates to the 12 steps and freedom that I've found in OA. But first, I'm going to tell you what I was like, what happened to change me, and what I'm like now. I don't ever remember having a normal relationship with food. I love everything. Anything sugary or starchy. Obesity runs in my family. Food became my anti-anxiety drug. It was my friend, my lover, and my higher power. I was a chronic dieter. I played around with bulimia, binging, purging, restricting, taking laxatives, or abusing an excess of fiber pills. I exercised past the point of exhaustion. I tried starvation and surgery. I repeatedly ate past the point of fullness, ashamed and demoralized after every episode. At my heaviest, I weighed nearly 300 pounds. I'm only 5'1", so that's a lot of body mass on a really small frame. My thinnest weight got me hospitalized. And so I spent so many years imagining my life as a slender, healthy person. Somewhere inside me was a thin girl dying to get out. Dying being the operative word. I was malnourished regardless of what I weighed. I was starving for something that takeout cannot provide. What I truly wanted could not be found in a box, a bag, a bottle, a batch, a bin, or a bucket. I was longing for a deeper nourishment that I simply could not name. I didn't know compulsive eating was a disease. I thought I just hadn't found the right diet, or that I simply didn't have enough willpower. What I have come to learn is that my body and my brain are different from the average person. I have an addiction to certain foods, and once I start, I become obsessed and I cannot stop. I first came to Overeaters Anonymous in my early 20s, hoping to find a suitable diet, one that allowed me to go on eating whatever I wanted without consequence. I was unhappy, so I overate. And when I overate, I was unhappy. This is the cycle of addiction. But food was never the true issue. It was just a reflection of the underlying unmanageability in my life. I was looking for an external solution to an internal problem. What I found in the rooms of OA was a group of nice middle-aged ladies who talked about God. Ironically, now I'm one of those nice middle-aged ladies who talks about God. The point is, at that point in time, I had no interest in attending meetings, working the steps, or growing my spirituality. So I lost a few pounds, and then I left. I continued to diet and struggle with my weight. I battled depression, food obsession, and sugar addiction for many, many more years. And the disease won every time. Because I don't just have an eating disorder. I have a living disorder. Celebration or sorrow, love or loss, I used food to navigate life. Most of the time, I was lonely, moody, selfish, impatient, envious, dissatisfied. Just like the children in the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I could so easily identify with them because they thoroughly symbolize the various obsessive, self-centered behaviors I established in active addiction. If you recall, the movie follows five children: Augustus, Violet, Veruca, Mike, and Charlie. They find golden tickets that grant them an opportunity to tour Willy Wonka's magical, bizarre factory. It is immediately apparent that they have some pretty unpleasant vices as the tour progresses. They are unable to control their urges or obey Wonka's instructions. When each one succumbs to their shortcomings, they are eliminated from the tour. When Charlie is the only one left behind, Mr. reveals the entire tour test designed to find an honest and worthy successor. I can relate to these children because, like them, I began my journey with a few fatal flaws. Like Augustus Gloop, I was a chubby child who became the epitome of gluttony and excess. I wore ill-fitting clothing that stretched unflatteringly over my round body. I made myself the butt of jokes before others could. I became a people pleaser due to my profound feelings of insecurity and inadequacy. I became increasingly estranged from my authentic self. I relied on overeating to mitigate emotional distress. Within a short amount of time, I was physically hooked. In the movie, Augustus, unable to control his food cravings, immediately rushes to drink from the chocolate river, ignoring all warnings. He is swept away by his indulgence, demonstrating the loss of control that defines addiction. Talk about powerlessness. I ignored the warning signs too. I wandered around stuffing my face instead of facing my stuff. I was powerless over every sugary river I encountered and fell head first into a canal of calamity. Insistent that I could solve the problem of compulsive eating on my own, I behaved like Violet Beauregard, the gum-smacking know-it-all. I spent years chewing copious sticks of gum to reduce my cravings or distract myself. Her vice isn't just gum, but the need to be the best at her obsessive habits. Violet is competitive. She's addicted to winning and being right. In the movie, she insists on trying a dangerous experimental gum, believing her willpower will somehow allow her to control the uncontrollable. Her hubris leads to unpleasant side effects, representing how addiction and compulsive behaviors can physically and mentally harm the user. I assumed, erroneously, that my intelligence meant I could handle this obsession on my own. I was convinced the solution was a solitary endeavor, and I couldn't see the insanity or the ego involved in doing the same thing repeatedly and expecting a different result. Fueled by deep insecurity about my weight and perceived unattractiveness, I became prideful and focused on being right. I used my intelligence to exert power and developed a highly competitive habit of judging and comparing myself to everyone around me. By the time I reached adulthood, my addiction had a strong hold on me, physically, mentally, and spiritually. I was a hopeless case. My body was unhealthy, and my mind was unhinged. But I had also developed decades of selfishness, resentment, and fear. I became a materialistic, self-centered brat like Veruca Salt. Her addiction is to having it all and having it now. She believes her desires and demands grant her immunity from consequences. She is terminally unique. My own entitlement and selfishness often led to destructive emotional tantrums. I thought I was exempt from rules. Fits of temper are really unattractive in children, but they are even more distasteful in an adult. And just to prove that addiction or addictive behavior is progressive, and that thinness doesn't always equal wellness, let me share this. Even when I was able to control my weight, I was compulsive about other things, just like the character Mike TV. Mike's obsessive focus on television is a form of escapism. He's disconnected from reality. In the factory, he injects himself into the television screen. For me, that symbolizes the addict's desperate search for faster, easier fixes that ultimately shrinks and distorts our world. Whether I was eating compulsively, scrolling on social media, shopping, or obsessing about people and situations I could not control, I was trying to escape reality. Friends, this is what we call shifting seats on the Titanic, trading one urge for another. But the ship is still sinking. Because whether it's a cookie, a cocktail, a credit card, or a casual encounter, addicts like me will chase it. And eventually we will drown. Without a program of recovery, I am just like those spoiled children in that movie. My human nature is far too self-destructive to automatically choose what's best for me, especially in my weakest moments. In October 2008, driven by what I can only describe as a God-inspired idea, I decided to return to Overeaters Anonymous. And later in that month, I attended a Region 6 convention, reluctantly. I planned only to attend on Saturday, but when the day arrived, I didn't want to go. So I did what I always did when life got uncomfortable. I showed up with a large tote bag full of food. Yep. That's right. I showed up to an OA event with contraband. I was convinced I needed it just to survive the day. I arrived just in time for a newcomers meeting. And what happened that day can only be described as miraculous. And it was nothing like I had ever imagined. I went to that newcomer session and I made the fundamental choice to admit my powerlessness, to surrender to this addiction. I immediately got a sponsor and I became abstinent on October 27, 2008, just 4 days before Halloween. That was like a high holy day for me. And I haven't looked back. Maintaining abstinence one day at a time ever since. Tomorrow will mark an incredible 17 years. A true thank you. That applause goes to my higher power and all of you. That is a true miracle. I couldn't string together 17 hours, let alone 17 years. That applause, my abstinence, that is the testament to the single moment of surrender when I finally asked for help. The best part was that I found a fellowship of Oompa Loompas just like me. In the movie, the primary role of the Oompa Loompas is to appear immediately after a child is taken out by their vice, singing a song detailing the error of their ways. You are the collective voices who have been there and clearly articulate the danger of compulsive eating. You are my peer support system and the chorus that carries the message of hope and encouragement. All kidding aside, I couldn't do this alone. My journey may sound like it's come so easily, but it has not been without challenges. Over the years, I've experienced health issues, job insecurities, layoffs, death of family members, the end of a 28-year marriage, as well as the day-to-day disappointments that every human being experiences. Yes, I've had losses and frustrations in recovery, but they were never an excuse to overeat, restrict, or purge. No matter what you weigh or how you identify in OA, I promise you, life will give you challenges. You'll wait in lines, your computer will break down, your car will break down, your boss may not recognize your skills, your skin will sag, children will move away, and loved ones will die. But misusing food will not fix any of those experiences. I am always at a crossroads. I can go on eating compulsively or I can surrender. And either way, I'm going to be uncomfortable, but I much prefer the path of recovery. So in those moments, I ask myself, how uncomfortable am I willing to be in any given moment? Do I believe I'll be okay if I remain abstinent? What is God's will for me? Can I imagine the miracles? And then I ask myself, what is it I want? Really want? Chances are it's not food. Now there's one more child in my little tale here. And that is Charlie Bucket. Charlie is the antithesis of the other children. And to me, he represents the spirit of the 12 steps. He embodies the virtues required for successful, durable recovery. However, Charlie is not flawless. His main shortcoming is a moment of disobedience, an impulse, when he and Grandpa Joe secretly drink the fizzy lifting drink, and he breaks the rules. And then they're later given an opportunity to sabotage Wonka. And Charlie is at a crossroads, and he chooses to return the everlasting gobstopper. This is a moment of integrity for Charlie, a place where he puts principle over profit, proving that he is a person ready for a spiritual awakening. Charlie never felt worthy, but when he does something esteemable, his confidence increases. Charlie demonstrates humility, willingness. He shows reverence for Wonka. Now, Charlie isn't perfect, just like me. But we try our best. He makes mistakes and then takes responsibility for it. This is who I've become, thanks to Overeaters Anonymous. My life is infinitely better than when I was actively eating compulsively. As I said, my food was just a symptom of an unmanageable life. One day at a time, the OA way of life has allowed me to enjoy a peaceful relationship with food, with my body, with others, and with my higher power. This story, mine and Charlie's, is amazing, and it can be yours as well. Imagine the miracles. What will your recovery be like when you leave this weekend? What is your miracle? Don't let the magic stop here. Bring it with you as you carry the message to others. When you leave, please take a handout, because in it, I share the last few lines of the song, Pure Imagination. This program, our fellowship, the 12 steps, a higher power, works. And my prayer for you is that you find serenity in the surrender, and that you strive for the miracles that you can only imagine. We have each other, and we have the 12 steps. This program works if you work it, and you are worth it. So work it. Thank you.